Hell yeah, Corn Fed Podcast, baby. Let's fucking go.
Let's fucking go.
Let's fucking go.
Let's fucking go.
Whoop whoop.
To Corn Fed after a decent break. Jess has been busy and I've been sad. So so she has a valid excuse. I don't, but whatever.
Sadness is a valid excuse.
Hell yeah. But you are now listening once again to the Corn Fed Podcast, and I am your co-host, Cayenne Rainwater, and I am here with
Jazzy Jazz and the Sad Bunch.
Hell yeah. And today is our 10th episode, and we are talking about something that I am very excited about, which is we were talking about the Slipknot self-titled album, which came out in 1999, a year after I was born, and is, I think, one of the greatest albums of all time. So, I guess...
I think it's good.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I laughed so loud right now. That's going to be brutal when I try to edit that.
I think my only problem with this album is that, like, it is too long, but I don't know what you would cut from it.
I do.
Oh, really? Ooh.
Yeah. I did think it was too long as well. I think that it loses a lot of, like, steam towards the end.
Really?
Hold on. I'm looking it up right now on my real phone because I use a different phone to record. I use an older phone that allows me to plug in headphones because I'm 1,000 years old. I would probably cut it off at Purity or Liberate.
Okay, I would be cool with cutting it off at Liberate as long as maybe replace. This is a hot take. I would always spit it out with Only One or No Life.
Okay. Or No Life? Okay.
Yeah. No Life in particular has a big soft spot in my heart, and I would need it on the album if it was cut in any sort of like significant way, because my absolute favorite thing to do is like when you're working like a shitty dead-end job that like just sucks complete ass, just driving to and from work and just like screaming in your car like this is no kind of life.
I feel like I need to, because I kind of lose interest after Purity, maybe even at Purity, I don't think I've given the back half of the album its due.
Yeah.
I definitely don't really like Liberate. I don't really like Prosthetics. Yeah. I don't really like Purity.
Prosthetics is, I think, the weakest song on the whole album.
Yeah, so I feel like maybe if I just even listened to it with cutting those two out, I might stick with it a little longer, but yeah, I don't...
Yeah, I think... go ahead.
When Scissors starts, it starts to... I feel like it starts to pick up again, but then it's like 8 minutes long.
There's always...
And then it's over.
On like every nu metal album, there's always like one song where they just like made it like unnecessarily long just because like, they just thought it made it like weirder or something.
I have no idea like what that trend was, but it works for some. It does not work for all.
Exactly. Like Korn gets it right most of the time.
I agree.
Scissors, yeah, kind of peters out kind of halfway through the song. Because the other thing, too, is this album is so high energy, and it's hard to maintain that level of energy for 50 minutes.
Yeah.
Like...
Which is the song that is, like, very rappy?
That's Spit It Out.
No. There's another one that's very, like...
No Life?
White man rapping. Maybe... Hold on. I gotta open this shit back up again. It might be, I don't know, but that one I was like, okay, so the energy is definitely down here. Yeah. Like,
No Life has like, it's because as much as I said I love that song, the verses are just like, yeah, they are very like white man rappy, but the chorus is incredible to me. So it's like one of those things where it's just like, I'm like, okay, I can listen through the verses for this like chorus that just makes me go buck wild.
I will, because how of what it means to you, I will give it another shot. And I will do so with an open heart.
Thank you. Because I mean, this album comes out fucking swinging, though. Like, Sick, Eyeless, Wait and Bleed, Surfacing is just an insane run of songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really love the beginning, like the first half energy of it. Mm.
Yeah.
What is your background with this album?
So this was one of the earlier new metal albums that I ever listened to. I think it has a soft spot in my heart because I was listening to a lot of different music at the time, and I always wanted something that was like slightly heavier. Like I would mm-hmm. like you would hear like the like old like metal bands and shit like Metallica or Black Sabbath or something like that, and like they're like slightly heavy, but I would always be like, I want something that's like more visceral, like more aggressive, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I had like just kind of recently discovered new metal, and so I was kind of like, okay, like I think this is my path, like towards the more aggressive, like visceral shit. And so I found this album, and like, you know, the cover is kind of like strange looking. Like you just have all these like guys like standing around in this weird mask with like a wide angle lens, like, or it's like, so it kind of intrigued me. And then I put it on and I heard like Sick for the first time, and I was just like, this is the coolest, like this is what I was looking for. Like it was the first time I'd listened to an album and been like, this is heavy enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that about it, because like I was just a pissed off like teenager, like just like completely like mad at fucking everything all the time, like edgy as fuck, you know. And this I think it still holds up. I mean, considering the fact that I listen to this album in full probably at least two or three times a month, and I listen to like specific songs off of it probably, you know, like every other day or so. Obviously I think it holds up, but it will never have the same impact that it had when I was like 15 doing inhalants in somebody's basement, just <off his block. laughs> like
I have.
But what were you saying?
Oh, I was just gonna say, I have a very like, I don't have too many vivid memories due to hashtag PTSD, but I have one very crystal clear memory of me yelling Slipknot for some reason while sitting on, I think it was like a bike rack or something. And then like a friend of mine asking me, do you even listen to Slipknot? And I think if I remember correctly, just based on like who I am, I know I said yes, but I did not. Like, I was a poser.
This show is pro poser, as a side note. There's nothing.
Sometimes.
Oh, go ahead.
Sometimes you have to be a poser to be a real one. Like, it's.
That's true as hell.
Like, sometimes you start off as a poser and then. And then become a real one.
Make it,
you know?
Make it.
Fake it till you make it, baby.
All of us are posers at some point. Neither is like nothing fucking cooler than somebody wearing a band shirt and somebody coming up to them and being like, do you even listen to them? And them just saying, no. Like, that's the most badass thing.
Right. I think, I don't remember where this is from, but I have like a memory of someone going to even listen to them. And then that person going, it's like a TV show or something. And they go, this is a band. Like, that's the funniest thing in the world to me.
That fucking rocks. Oh my God. I love shit like that so much.
Mm-hmm. I'm anti-gatekeeping in every possible way.
Same, 100%. Everything is cooler when like it's just accessible to everybody, and band mm-hmm. members should be accessible to everybody even if they don't listen to the band.
Plus, like, some of the coolest merch belongs to some of the shittiest artists. Like, I love Metallica, but I don't love Metallica like that.
Yeah.
But wearing the fuck out of a Metallica t-shirt.
Oh, fuck yeah, I would wear the I'm the same way, like, absolutely. Or I really enjoy Playboi Carti. His music is like way fucking cooler than his music.
It's so good. I didn't jump in. I felt really weird in the group chat today because it was like you, I'm really, really sad. Everybody, like, love you. And then you, like, okay, so Flyleaf rocks. But I knew that privately we were, like, crying. So I was like, I don't know how to behave in here right now. Like, this doesn't feel right.
Inside of me, there are always two wolves. One is insanely depressed, and the other one wants to talk about nu metal.
That is the same wolf, my friend.
That's true as fuck, actually. Jesus. I feel like, also, like, speaking of, like, depressing shit, this album has a lot of, like, weirdly sad lyrics that are delivered in such an aggressive way that it doesn't seem like it.
Yeah. This, the whole thing, I think, is shit 21 times.
Yeah. Like, fucking rocks, and then, like, just, like, fucking... there's so many, like, over the course of... Obviously, No Life has the one that I was, like, talking about earlier. Fucking, what's the, I mean, Only One has a line that's like, death is fine, give me mine, which I think is, and it's just like screamed like loud as fuck. And I'm like, all right, cool. Wait and Bleed is a weird song on this album to me, because I feel like, even though it's very much in the style of Slipknot, there's something, I don't know if it's the production on it or what, but there's something about it that gives me like a completely different atmosphere than the rest of the album.
It's a little glossier, I think.
Yeah.
It's a little more accessible.
Yeah, I would say that's probably it.
Yeah,
I think like, because I mean, I think it was the lead single as far as I remember. So I can see why they would like do it where it's kind of a little bit more singy, like definitely a, like, I mean, all of this is pop music, you know, it is all, like, verse, chorus, verse, bridge, but, like, it's more, like, I guess, like, poppy sounding, for lack of a word. But I, oh my god, I love this album so much. It's, like, hard to, like, find the right words to, like, talk about it, just because it's, like, I don't know how many different ways I can just say this album is so fucking aggressive, and I live for that. Also, I don't know if we've told our listeners before, but this album also has a soft spot in my heart because I have Slipknot tattooed on my ass.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I guess there's probably some listeners who might not know this story. Probably most of them do, though. I woke up one morning and I just had the idea. I just thought it was like, I was like, I like Slipknot. And also just the idea of having Slipknot tattooed on my ass is kind of funny to me. So I tweeted like Slipknot on my ass ? And it's like a Twitter poll. And it was like something like 85% yes or something like that. And I think everybody was kind of like a, like you won't do it kind of thing. And then
you're not down.
Yeah. And then my friend like DM'd me the tweet and was like, I'm not saying I support this, but I do have a needle in India ink. And I was like, all right, let's fucking go. So like I walk my ass over to her apartment and like sit my ass down on the couch and like we're both like crossfaded and she's just like, giving me a fucking like Slipknot stick and poke that we had like sterilized in fucking like cheap bourbon.
Hell yeah.
And it honestly turned out pretty good. It's kind of faded now, but like,
is it like the logo or is it just like written?
It's written and it's like in their font, so it has like the big K and like the big T. But I have a lot of well done, very good tattoos. This is absolutely my favorite tattoo that I have. like, not even close. But
I want something on my ass.
Ass tattoos are the coolest thing in the world to me. I want to make like my entire like ass cheek where I have the Slipknot tattoo. I want to get like a bunch of other nu metal band logos like on it. Corn logo, like I want like the Limp Bizkit logo, like I want the Kitty logo, just
looking like an all ages club in
1999. Fuck.
I'm so sorry.
So good though. Oh my God. But yeah, like the other thing about this album too is like I said, like there is like kind of a weird sadness to it, but it's also like the exact kind of like sadness that I love of like, you can just be pissed off that you're sad.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like kind of a hard feeling to put into words, but I think is captured very well across this album. And also I like that like the lyrics aren't like too vague to the point of like they're just meaningless, but they're also like vague enough that like you can just put anything that's going on in your life into them.
Yeah, I have a soft spot for lyricists who can write something that is very catchy, even if it's like just word soup.
Yeah.
Like for example, like the one of the lyrics that really stuck out to me was the "You can't see California without Marlon Brando's eyes."
Yeah.
And I looked it up because I thought it was such a great, like, it could literally mean anything, but the thing is that it means something. You hear it and you're like, it means something to you, right? Like,
yeah.
Like maybe it doesn't mean something to them or universally, I guess.
Yeah.
But it just hits like that spot, you know, of like, ooh, these words just sound good together. Like that means something to me. So I looked it up and I guess it's like some random like homeless that they came across in California was saying it and they thought it sounded cool, so they put it in the song. And I'm like, that's cool, because that's literally like, it does sound cool. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I would also
they were 100% right. It does.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I too would have stolen that.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, and then like Tattered and Torn has like just like what is it, was like something aches, bad things slither, my floors are burning down and I can't find a window. And it's like, okay, like those are kind of like generic lyrics, but they're delivered in such like an interesting way with like the tattered horn like whisper behind it, that like it hits you in a way that like maybe it wouldn't if you were just like reading them.
Yeah.
Which I also think is like something that's impressive about like certain types of lyricists. Like, and I think Corey Taylor is like this, where he just kind of like, he knows what he's good at delivering, and so he capitalizes on that.
Mm-hmm.
And like his delivery of different lyrics, like really kind of ties a lot of it together. I also like that this album is like, and maybe it's just like a, like maybe it's not if I went into it with like fresh ears, but just like when I first listened to it, I love that this album also has like kind of like a creepy edge to it that I don't think a lot of like other nu metal does.
Mm-hmm. I think just being Slipknot has that creep factor. Because I remember like that poser moment that is like that visceral clarity in my head.
Yeah.
Is I know that I wanted to like Slipknot. I was like trying to psych myself into liking Slipknot, but I wasn't quite there yet. And a few years later, I did finally get into it. But part of it was like, I don't know about you, but things that look ominous and creepy, like, just suck me in. Like, I want to know more.
Oh, no, go ahead.
And, of course, just the way they look is, they got me. I wanted to know more.
Exactly, yeah. Like, I think they have, like you said, it is just, like, the factor of being Slipknot is such, like, is such a force. Like, I mean, you know, it's the 9-person band, the jumpsuits, the masks, like all the like weird stories about shit going on behind the scenes of like Corey Taylor, like, you know, like vomiting while he's recording the lyrics to Iowa and like shit like that.
I did not know any of that.
Yeah. Like, and like, you know, like obviously like during their live shows, they used to do this thing when they had their old drummer where his like drums were on like a platform and they were like bolted down and it would like, it would like lift up so that he was like, you know, like parallel to or perpendicular to the ground, I mean. And then they would ground while he was like doing a drum solo, and there was like, you know, like a fucking like pentagram like on his little drum platform.
And
they have all like the imagery and shit like that. It just adds like so much. Like Slipknot's music in a vacuum is only like half of the Slipknot experience, I feel like.
Right. Yeah.
And also just, like, the culture, because, like, they have that, like, aesthetic, and they have, like, you know, like they had songs called like the Heretic Anthem and shit like that. So like there was kind of like a thing of like parents were scared of like kids who liked Slipknot, which is like cool. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think, you know, I grew up Catholic, not really practicing for most of my life. Like I just remember having to go to church and it being boring, but like didn't really care. Yeah. But for all my Catholic heads out there, you know, you have to get your first communion and whatnot out of the way. And we waited like forever. Like I was like one of the oldest kids in my class when I finally did get my first communion. But anyway, long story short is that I had a very complex relationship with religion and with imagery that was, I guess, hostile towards religion.
Yeah.
Always intrigued me, but it also scared me because I, you know, I was like in the type of family where I would get in trouble for that. Latinos hate Satan, you know?
Yeah.
So, so yeah, so that's like one of the, another, just another thing that was very alluring. Like, ooh, what is this?
Yeah. What is this? I also think like that was part of their appeal to me because like, I think I've mentioned before, like I basically had no content restrictions on like media that I consumed as a kid or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so like, my mom would be like against something, but still like buy it. You know what I mean? like the first Korn CD. I remember when I was talking about, I mentioned something about like Korn to my mom recently. And I was like, do you remember that band whose album cover you like hated? And she was like, oh yeah. And like, she was like super against it, but she would just like go with it. And I think like Slipknot intrigued me a lot too, because they were like one of the few things where like the iconography, like, actually like legitimately made my parents a little bit upset, because they would usually just kind of be like, eh, like whatever, like I don't like it, but who cares, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But we were like,
mm-hmm.
we were like Catholic light, I would say. Like we went to mass like, you know, like twice a month or something. We didn't go every week, but we would go every once in a while. Mm-hmm. And you know, like me and my sister went through, you know, all of like the, like I forget what it's called, but basically Sunday school. But they had a different mm-hmm. they had a different name for it, but I can't remember what it is at the moment.
Yeah.
Like we went through all that. Like we had like the first communion, like the confirmation, like all that kind of shit.
Oh, I did not make it to confirmation.
Oh, really?
first communion was where I tapped out. Thank God.
Yeah, I stuck with it and I got confirmed. And it's so funny because I was like, I was sick of it, like, by the time I was like, I'm definitely not Catholic. Like, I don't know what I believe, but I'm definitely not Catholic. Like, a year before mm-hmm. confirmation, but I was like, but damn, it'd be kind of cool to have a saint name. And then I caused a big problem in my family because my sister also chose Mary Magdalene, and so I chose Mary Magdalene. My family was like, you can't have a girl's one because I mean, I'm still only out to my mom and my sister, but, like, at the time I wasn't out to anybody. And so my mom, mm-hmm. you can't have a girl's name, like choose a different one. I was like, no, this is the one I'm choosing.
Hell yes. Yes. I love that.
But it was cool. But I, so that was my experience with it. But yeah, like Slipknot, they had like that like heretical imagery in a way that like also intrigued me, because it was like, this is one of the few things where my parents are like legitimately like, please like stop this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's so weird because, like, my mom is very Christian, but in a way that isn't shitty. Like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, it's so ingrained in her spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so much a legalism thing.
Yeah,
but my stepdad, who is a huge piece of shit, was very legalistically Christian, which is hilarious, right? Because he was like the worst person I've ever known. So they, like, you know, we didn't do Halloween, and anything I liked that was like witchy or vampire-y, anything that was like not holy, I just had to like pretend that that wasn't something I was into. But of course, the more that they didn't do Halloween, the more that they didn't want me to, you know, read certain things, the more that I wanted to. So
right, exactly, like it becomes like so much fucking cooler.
Exactly, like what are you hiding?
Yeah,
why can't I see?
I also have like such, like with this album too, like slightly off topic, but like I have such visceral memories of like I had an MP3 player that I had gotten in when I was in eighth grade. And I remember walking through the hallways of my eighth grade middle school, just like blasting fucking Slipknot into my ears and just like total, just like, man, like none of these people fucking understand me. Like shit. Like it was so fucking weird, like, just to think back about like how like different my relationship with them is now, where it's just like a lot of my friends like Slipknot, and like at the time I didn't really talk to too many people, and like I had like two or three friends who, you know, also listen to nu metal, and those are the friends who I mostly talk about on this podcast when I talk about my friends. It's like those like two or three, but like now I know a lot of people who like Slipknot, and it's like cool, and I'm just like, yeah, like fuck yeah, like Slipknot, you know what I mean? At the time I was like damn, like they don't get it, like
that's so funny.
Like I was such like a stereotypical like goth girl like in middle school, like if I was on like a TV show it wouldn't look out of place, like it would almost like actually in fact like I was such like a stereotypical goth girl that you like if I showed up on a TV show you'd be like, okay, like nobody's really like that.
It'd be like a poorly written CW show.
Straight up. And like,
Slipknot, I love that.
As much as I love Slipknot, like listening to this album like in eighth grade and being like that makes complete sense.
It's so, and I think I mentioned this the other night when you and I hogged the group chat in the middle of the night, but I think it's so funny, like the way that you, that age is so, such a good time for like becoming your own person, you know, and like figuring out your own, what you like and whether, you know, you're mainstream or you're going to be branching out of that. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying it don't, like that their taste doesn't expand past that age. It just is different. It hits different, you know, because you're supposed to be fitting in with everybody at that age, and you're supposed to be liking all the things that they like. And so it feels different in a cool way, in my opinion. I liked feeling different, knowing that I was listening to different things than everybody else. But I don't know. It's just interesting to me, like, how little it all ended up mattering in the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, okay, when I was in seventh grade, that was when the Slipknot thing happened, the incident. And I was in
I just said the Slipknot incident.
The Slipknot incident. I was in a very Latino school, very junior high school. And then the very next year, I transferred to a super white high middle school called Lake Intermediate. And it was so strange going from, like, there was just completely different demographics. Like, listening to Slipknot was edgy and cool in a Latino, you know, predominantly Latino area, because, you know, that's what alternative Latino people would listen to. In Garden Grove High School, I got straight up made fun of for listening to Linkin Park. And I was like, everybody listens to Linkin. I don't understand. like I have the vivid memory of this girl going, you're not punk because you listen to Linkin Park. And I was like, mind your business, Teresa. Like, I don't.
What does that even mean, though?
Like, who cares? Yeah. But yeah.
I was also like one of those, despite how extremely stereotypical I was in hindsight at the time, I was completely like, you can't label me. Like, I was like, yeah, like I listen to Slipknot, but like, I also like, you know, like Lil Wayne. So like, I'm completely unlabelable.
I love that.
Like in hindsight, like that's so dumb because it's literally just people can like more than one thing. But right. Like,
but everybody wanted you to fit, you know, you had to fit into the little box to be hanging out with certain cliques. And it sucked because at Garden Grove High School, I was really I also went to Garden Grove High School, but at Lake Intermediate, I was so out of my depth. Like I had been with the same people for most of my life. We were all in GATE classes together. We all went to South together. So it was just so strange to like get dumped into this school where like everything was upside down to like what I was used to. So I just wanted friends, you know, like I saw the group of people that dressed kind of like I dressed and listened to some of the music I listened to. And they were like, you're a poser. And I was like, okay, bye. I'm going to go find the one other black person in this entire school. And I did. And then we became best friends. And that was that.
I remember like, I had like such like a weird like cultural thing because I was never like really popular at all. But like I became like super unpopular when I went to high school because I had a weird shift where I went to a different high school than where I like in the school district that I'd gone to middle school in. And I ended up going to high school with like a bunch of rich kids, which was like I was already like the misfit there. You know what I mean? Because I was simply not one. But then, like, I remember, like, and they're all listening to fucking, like, and it was such a weird culture shock because, like, at my middle school, like, the cool music to listen to had been, like, I just, like, top 40, I guess, like Kesha, like, shit like that was, like, really popular at the time. So, like, that was kind of, like, the popular things to listen to. But then I go to this fucking rich kid school and everybody's listening to fucking, like, Arctic Monkeys and Vampire Weekend and shit like that. And I'm just, like, fuck is going on here? Like, what kind of geek ass music is this?
How dare you?
Okay, Vampire Weekend is fine. Arctic Monkeys is I don't get the appeal. I'll leave it at that.
It's because you're gay. I'm sorry. If you were attracted to men, you would get Arctic Monkeys. I don't get what straight men like about Arctic Monkeys, because it feels just like an animalistic, out of control kind of
fucking Christ.
I was at this coffee shop that I used to go to a lot, my first round of college, I guess I would call it, called the Night Owl. And there was this barista, well, it had like a little stage and people could, you know, like sing or whatever. And one of the baristas would occasionally like go back there and play his guitar. He did a cover of, I don't remember what the song is called, but he did an Arctic Monkeys cover and I had never even heard it before. Like I'd never heard the song, but I was like criminally horny. Well, he was I was like, what is
this? Holy fuck.
Like, uncomfortable. And then I went home and like Googled it. And yeah, it was an Arctic Monkeys song. I was like, that makes sense. That makes sense.
The lesbian equivalent to that is probably Rico Nasty of just like, just animalistic horniness anytime she comes on. Like if you're like anywhere in public and Rico Nasty ever came on, you could just like look around at the women who like shift around in their seats and you know one is a lesbian.
Shout out Elliot Page, by the way.
Oh yeah, King.
Yes. One of the most unquestionably hot people on the planet, just living their life. Fucking love that for him.
Dude, he's just vibing. I'm stoked for him.
Yeah, like I don't feel like the timeline has felt collective happiness since like Donald Trump got COVID. So that was like a nice little moment.
Honestly, yeah, that's true. That was like the like little like spirit booster that we all needed.
Yeah.
I even looked through the replies because I'm a masochist and I was like, I'm gonna block everybody who's being shitty. All of the replies were just like, go for it, King. Like,
yeah. For
you. Like, hell, fuck yeah, dude. Like, I was like, box. Like, this is, I was going in here so that I could be a Grinch, but like, actually, everybody's cool about it. I think, like, part of that too has to do with like the fan base that he had curated for himself, like, in the first place.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like, I'm trying to think of like another artist who's like similar, like well, I guess actually like Laura Jean Grace had kind of a similar thing, like obviously like gender inverted, but like, you know, like before she came out, I think she had like cultivated a cool enough fan base that when she did, like people were pretty cool about it. And so like I think he had cultivated like enough of like a cool fan base that when he came out, it's just like, okay, like people who followed me like already supported shit like this. You know what I mean? So it's not like, but which I think is a good thing. And I think, but yeah. I also, it's also cool because he's such like a high profile actor and like,
yeah,
always getting like that trans representation is really fucking cool.
Yeah, I think that that's one of the things that, like, you know, and please, please, please tell me if I say something fucking stupid here, but because obviously I'm not trans, so I might say something stupid and not know it. But I just really love how bold he's always been in, like, being himself, you know, and like I don't know how to explain it, but like, I feel like he never really put up with any shit, like with like people asking. I feel like everybody wanted to know his personal life and his personal journey. And he, despite the pressures I'm sure that he felt throughout his whole career to like do it all, like took his time and just did it when it felt right for him. And I think that, I don't know, I just found that to be really beautiful.
Yeah, and I also think it was really cool the way that it, like, kind of transpired, because, like, it's, like, the way that he talked about it is, like, an experience that so many people have where they, like, struggle with these feelings throughout their whole life, but maybe they don't completely understand them until, like, later in their life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's cool that he was kind of, like, very open about that representation and not just being, like, the, like, like the very like stereotypical, as much as like this is exactly my experience, but it is like the stereotypical one. It's like always in movies of like, I knew from a young age, but I just denied it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everybody has a different, everyone's got a different journey. And I don't know, I just really respect people and love people. I don't know much else to say there. Like,
have you seen the fucking post that, like, I think I posted on my Instagram story, but it's like, damn, I fucked around and got older and realized it's much cooler to love.
I've not seen that, but damn.
It's so true, though. Like, it really is, which, ironically, pivoting back to where we are, is the opposite, is, like, the antithesis of this album, which is not about love at all. But it's I shouldn't say is the antithesis, because we're talking about people being problematic and shit like that, and this album is not problematic.
I think that you're right. It's not the antithesis. I think it's like a very natural progression of that journey. Like, I think that people who are very hard, especially at a young age, are just like bleeding love, but are not in a place where it's like safe. It's not a safe environment to feel everything you feel, which can lead to
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, which can lead to anger, which can lead to looking for music that kind of where you can direct that rage, you know?
Yeah, because I think like exactly, like it can be really hard for people to like express, like, I mean, even sticking within like the nu metal like canon, like we talked about it on our first episode. That's why, like, Linkin Park was, like, not cool to listen to. It was, like, it was too emotional. Like,
exactly. You
know? And so, like, this album, it's, like, anger is obviously an emotion, too. But, like, it's one that's, like, was more accepted in my friend group.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, yeah, like, it was just, like, easy also to, like, turn to this and just be, like, man, like, you know, like, I'm pissed off. Like, I can listen to this. And, like, there is also, I think, like, moments where even the most like loving people can maybe like lean into a little bit of like misanthropy, and this is like kind of a good album to like indulge that in, because it's not it's not taking it out on anybody in particular. It's just like anger at the world.
Yeah,
it's not like being shitty towards somebody. Like, it's not like a like hateful breakup album or like, you know, like some sort of like misogynist or like racist shit. It's like just like kind of just like hatred at the world at large.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is like one of the more healthy depictions of rage that people can indulge in.
I don't know. I think anger is very healthy in some ways. Not for people maybe who are always angry, but definitely for people who don't admit how angry they are. I think it can be helpful to have like a gauge to get that out, you know?
Yeah, well, and, like, we've talked about it, too, before, where, like, it's, like, this album is nice for me because it's, like, that, like, explosive rage that I can, like, finally, like, kind of, because, like, we've talked before about how, like, as women, I think we're constantly pissed off, and, like, we don't really have, like, the opportunities to express that very much. Like, we don't get, like, you know, the opportunity to have, like, kind of, like, flashes of anger. Like, it's just not accepted by us.
Right. It's not, like, no woman could have a Tom Cruise moment from this last week and get away with it. You know, yeah. Like whenever women have had moments like that, it has stuck with their career forever. They did not win Academy Awards after that. Katherine Heigl is not allowed anywhere in front of a camera anymore. So,
right. Yeah, like it's just not. And then like, we're also just like told for so long, like, just hold it in, just hold it in, just hold it in. Like, you know, like whatever. And so it's like, you also have that, like the way that you've just been taught is like also like in your brain, like even like without like the societal repercussions, maybe of an actual explicit thing, you just hold it in because like you feel like you have to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even if you maybe have people who are understanding when you like, even if you had somebody who like you did like legitimately have like a blow up around and like was understanding, you don't feel like you can do that anyways. And this album, nice because like I can just be in my car and just be like, this is like all the rage that I have been feeling for like weeks, just like coming to the surface, just like screaming along to it, because like it's, and also like it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, where like the lyrics are vague enough that like any sort of like rage that I'm having can be mapped onto them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like applicable in so many different circumstances when I'm just upset. But
do you have like specific memories of listening to this during like moments when you really needed it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like, I remember, I don't know if I've ever told this story to you either. Back when I was like, I think it was my 16th birthday, I think. My 16th birthday. My parents are divorced, which isn't something that really upsets me. Like I didn't really care when they got divorced. In fact, like I'm happy for them. They both seemed happier after they split away, after like the initial period subsided and everything, you know what I mean? But both of their spouses suck though. But my, for my birthday, we were having it at my dad's house, and my dad had invited my mom. And because like, it's my 16th birthday, like she wants to be there, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was pretty chill for like the whole thing. Well, like the next day I stayed at my mom's apartment, and she's like sobbing in her room, and I'm just like, yo, like what the fuck is going on? And like, she shows me like this like long ass fucking email that my stepmom had sent her, because she had sent her like a nice email that was just like, hey, like, thanks for letting me into your house. Like I had a great time. Like, I'm glad, you know, everybody got along and everything. Mm-hmm. And like, I replied with this like vitriolic email that like opened with like, well, I'm glad you had a good time, but the only one who was comfortable was you. Like, I don't know how you can continue to subject your children to like this kind of stuff. And like, I was just like so mad. And like, it was like one of those moments where I was just like, I was so angry, but like my mom was like obviously like super upset. So like, I didn't want to be like upset in front of her or anything. I just mm-hmm. remember put in headphones, and I was like walking around like kind of like the block that her apartment was on. And just like, I was like blasting this in my ears, because it was like, right, like it was like one of the angriest times I've ever been, because everybody knows how much I love my mom. So anything that makes her upset is like infinitely more like angering to me than anything that makes me upset.
Same.
Yeah, it was just like, that's like definitely one of my like very particular memories with that. And also like associated with this album, because I did like immediately start listening to it. And I was just like, because I remember I just listened to Surfacing like immediately. I was like, I'm just going to listen to Surfacing, like, because it's just like, they're just like the fuck you all, fuck this world, fuck everything that you stand for. Like, I was just like, mm-hmm. this is what I need right now. Also, the riff on that song, the opening riff, is absolute insanity. That like yeah. siren noise. Oh my god. Like, I am very into making guitars sound like different than they usually do. I still have no idea how they got that sound. I've tried trying to get like that fucking sound, and I can't do it. But yeah, like, but do you have any like similar kind of, or like comparable like experiences or anything?
Not with Slipknot, but I do have albums that are like that, and I just figured because of how important this album was for you that you would have some memories like that.
Yeah.
I think one of mine is probably In Love and Death by The Used.
Okay.
Yeah, I have like very vivid memories of like getting on my bike and like just riding away from my house to that. And also Kid Cudi's Man on the Moon, the first one, was a very big, like, I gotta get away from everybody, gotta get on my bike and just ride. Honestly, record. God. Have you listened to the new Man on the Moon?
No, I haven't. But it, wait, was Kid Cudi your first Ohio connection, as a side note?
First of all, I did not know he was from Ohio.
Cleveland.
He's from what?
He's from Cleveland.
Oh, wow. I did not.
I have to double check that.
I did not know that. But I doubt it because I was older when that album came out. And obviously, I'd already been listening to nu metal for quite a while. So.
Yeah.
I was like 17 when Man on the Moon came out. 16 or 17. So.
Yeah, he is from Cleveland. Yeah.
Okay. That's so fucking Ohio legends, man.
Honestly, there's so many. I do remember when Man on the Moon came out because I would have been, because it came in like 2009, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I would have been either 10 or 11, depending on if it came out in January or after.
Mm-hmm.
But
I remember this album, that album, so vividly because, as a lot of people know, but maybe not people who listen to this, I was terrible at school. And in high school, it's so funny how much harder you have to work if you're terrible at school. if I had just done what I was supposed to do.
Honestly, I love that so much.
But it was worth it, to be honest. I would not do anything different. But the year that Man on the Moon came out, I was living in one of the places that I most have hated throughout my decade plus of being unhoused or whatever. And I had night school at this junior high called Dale. Like, that's where they had all the night school for all the people who failed their regular classes.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to ride my bike there because my mom was at work or looking for, this was like right after the economy collapsed too. So like my mom lost her job of 15 years and was, yeah, it was so fucking shitty. Like she got pushed out of this company. Everybody did. They would like write you up for every little thing and then like fire you eventually. And then everybody got replaced by like, independent contractors that didn't need health insurance and stuff. It was just shit. But anyway, so I didn't have her around a lot that year because she was like pounding the pavement, and I had night school every single night from like sophomore year to senior year. I had night school and zero period every single day because I failed so many classes. But I had to take my bike home at like 9 or 10 p.m. through the most shitty neighborhood. And why was I listening to Man on the spookiest album like, on my like, I don't know why I subjected myself to that, but it did make me ride my bike home really fast. I'll say that.
Oh yeah, no, I feel that. Like anytime I'm like in like a like an area where I'm just kind of like the, what's the fucking Simpsons meme? It's just like, haha, I'm in danger. Like, yeah. Anytime. Because, like, there's this one area. It's like a town south of Columbus. I think it's probably about an hour and a half, 2 hours. It's called Portsmouth. And it is the, like, okay, most places are not that scary as long as you just mind your own business, because most people are minding their own business. You know what I mean? Like any, like right. Neighborhoods that are considered like bad neighborhoods really aren't. Just like mind your business and don't look like an idiot or don't act right. Like an idiot.
Right.
But like,
don't poke around shit that doesn't none of your business. Yeah.
Yeah. But I've been to Portsmouth twice, and there's something about Portsmouth just being completely empty that makes it so you hustle fast as fuck. Like anytime you're like walking, like there's like, it's one thing, there's like people around and shit like that, but it's another thing like when you're in like, it's like a, it's a small city, but like it's like, you know, it has like a downtown and everything. Mm-hmm. And there's something about walking through it and there's like literally just no lights on, like the street lights are broken. Like
my palms are sweating. Just thinking.
Yeah, And but I would do the same, the two times that I've been there, I did the same shit where I would like listen to like terrifying music for some reason. Because I love to make everything worse.
It's like one of my main personality traits, I think, is really leaning into the vibe.
Just completely leaning into the vibe. Like, listen, there's a reason I listened to No Name Number 5 by Elliott Smith like 20 times last night.
I need to listen to it again because I was listening to it on like the speaker on my phone, and it's very much, I feel like, a headphone song.
No Name Number 5?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You need the atmosphere of it. You need to have it.
Yeah, either.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say either like headphones or like quiet room in the dark, but I was neither of those things, so.
Yeah, like that is 100% correct. Slipknot is also something that you need a very specific listen for.
I agree.
Where, like,
because I try.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, you go.
I was just gonna say, if somebody tried to play this shit off of their phone speakers, I would be like, what the fuck is this?
I tried to listen to it in the hour before we met up right now on my computer speakers, just like sitting at my office, which is like the least Slipknot visual. Like, I'm wearing pink tie-dye sweatpants and fuzzy slippers. I was thinking the only new metal thing that I had going on was that I was drinking a giant McDonald's iced coffee.
Oh, that is extremely, that's very new metal though. Also, like, that visual is one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my life. Pink tie-dye and Slipknot, like, that's
It's every single meme that I've ever tweeted about us.
I think. Honestly, like, that really is. I love those posts so much.
I love finding them. Yeah. Like, it's my favorite.
That reminds me of when a friend of the podcast, Kyle, I sent him I can't remember if I just told him about it or if he found it himself and just knew that I liked it or whatever, but he was listening to the new Lingua Ignota album. And he texted, and he was like, I love just like sitting in my office listening to this woman scream about Satan while I work on like forms.
I was on, no joke, I was on the California unemployment website while I was listening to
Okay, that's very new metal. That's the most new metal part of that, is being on the California unemployment website.
That part, but it wasn't, because it's not for me, it's for my brother and my sister-in-law. Prayers up, people, for my in-law, because she's got the Roni. Yeah, I'm so irritated with everything. That's a different subject, I think, for a different day, but yeah, I was like,
oh, go ahead.
Huh? We already covered like heavy stuff.
Yeah, and also, like, we've devolved so many times on this episode, who cares?
I think that it's us, so yeah. I don't care.
I feel like
as long as
oh, go ahead.
Oh no, I was done. You feel like what?
I was just gonna say, I feel like anybody listening to this podcast now is not listening to it for hard-hitting new metal journalism. They're listening to it for the weird relationships that we can somehow draw to whatever new metal album we're listening to.
Exactly. That's like, I feel like ultimately that's what this has been about though. Like, the personal connection of new metal to like just the life that we live.
And obviously we specifically talk about new metal, but just like in general, like how much you can tie, like how much different art can affect you in a way and like be tied to different parts of your life that it was obviously not maybe created to be tied to.
Mm-hmm.
But like, yeah, I don't think Slipknot ever made an album and thought that like two girls were going to talk about like what being like, how it's good to be a poser. About it like fucking like 21 years later.
I hope they don't mind, but if they do, I don't really care.
If they do, DM us, We know you're listening. Slipknot, we know you're listening. Send me another bottle of your whiskey.
Wait, they make whiskey?
Yeah, there's a Slipknot whiskey, and I ordered it once, and it's actually really good.
You can't convince me that any whiskey is good. I don't like whiskey, but I know you're like a whore for whiskey. So yeah,
that's a terrible take, but it's fine.
It's not. It's partly a flavor thing, but it's mostly that some of the most reckless situations I've ever gotten myself into started with whiskey.
I think the fact that like I'm a notorious whiskey fiend and that I still call it breakdown juice, it explains a lot about my personality.
Like I don't regret much of what I've done in my life. And I would say I don't regret these nights either, but there was some regret like directly afterward where I was like, maybe I shouldn't have had whiskey. It's like the magic component.
Whiskey and gin, like they're both just fucking breakdown juice.
Oh really? I'm a gin fiend. I love gin.
Oh my god.
A gin hound.
I've never drank gin and not cried that same night.
Oh my god.
Literally never.
I love gin. The gin is my go-to. So
oh, it tastes good as hell, but
yeah,
it does something to my brain.
It's like possibly too clean, you know?
Like that, like that, like weird, like minty flavor to it or something. I don't know.
It's very crisp.
Yeah, it's good as hell though.
I'm glad that gin doesn't do that to me because I'd be in trouble, I think. The first thing I order everywhere I go is a double gin and tonic, and then I slam it, and then we go from there.
Yeah, it's always anytime I go somewhere, it's a rail whiskey and soda water.
Gross.
It's so good.
I'm sorry. It's disgusting.
It's either that or a Miller High Life. And like when I lived in Kent and bars were still safe to go to before, you know, COVID, which also every time that we talk about this, it's going to date the episode so hard, but every time that anybody talks about COVID, like everything is going to be so dated. Like if the but anyways, pre-COVID, like every time I would go to this bar, I would like walk in and they would like, depending on the bartender, they would either open a Miller High Life for me as I walked in, or they would ask me if I want a whiskey or a Miller.
That's awesome. I wish that I had a bar relationship like that with a bar, but bars are not like that around here because it's Southern California. There's too many people, I think. Yeah. There's too many people, and I think that, you know, everything is always trying to cultivate a brand here.
Yeah.
So it's not about like knowing people.
Yeah.
Which I did go, oh my god, I went on a date. This was like about a year ago, actually, maybe a little bit longer, with this guy. And he took me to the diviest dive bar humanly imaginable in Santa Ana in the middle of the day. Like they had just opened. And it rocked. We just drank and talked. And the bartender knew every single mascot for every Southern California high school. You could just like name any of them and he would know them. Like,
that's
such a strange thing, but it was so cool.
I love people who have like hyper specific knowledge about shit like that.
Right. So like the guy was kind of a bust. He looked like Totodile.
Oh no.
Yeah. Like the he just had this like little snaggly tooth that every time he opened his mouth I was like, you look like the Pokemon Totodile. But it was fun. It was a good memory.
That is holy shit. Oh my god. I guess back to get back on track, one thing about this album too that I think like, and Limp Bizkit had a little bit of this as well, is that like I think a lot of like nu metal gets like this like reputation of, like they don't know how to play their instruments, which in the case of Korn is probably true. It's definitely true for their bassist. But like the fucking musicians in Slipknot are insanely talented. Like like I said, like I don't know how they got that fucking noise for surfacing, but it fucking rocks. Like turntables are actually like they actually fit. I feel like in a lot of nu metal songs, like turntable shit feels like kind of out of place. but I feel like they made it work really well, like in the context of the songs. Obviously, their drummer is fucking nuts. And like, and also the dude who just hits the keg is cool. It doesn't mean he's a good musician, but I love that just a role in a band.
If I ever start a band, I'll be the keg person because I can't play any instruments. So
I want to be the keg person.
You can play an instrument, unfortunately, so you're going to have to be a real member of the band.
I screwed myself here.
If you had just wasted your life away and not learned any instruments like me, you too could play the keg.
The keg is absolutely the coolest instrument you could ever play. Like, that dude is the coolest dude in the world to me because he literally gets like, he's in this like massively famous band and he just gets paid to go around on stage and like slam into a keg. Like, that's so fucking sick.
That's like the dream job, I think.
I hate to
refer to anything as a dream job, but if there was one, I think that would be it.
Too, like, the thing about it is, like, you know, you only have to do it for like an hour or so a night and only when your band's on tour. So it's not like you're work, like, it's obviously like physical, but it's not like you're working a manual labor job where it's like 8 fucking hours a day.
And it's not like you have to practice, no, right? I think all that much. You don't have to keep your skills sharp for the
as long as you can just like vaguely stay on rhythm, you're fine.
I'm really sorry, keg guy, if you're listening to this by some crazy happenstance and you feel offended. You may correct us. I have no idea what your life is like. Really? And also you.
If you're listening to this, like Jez said, by some insane coincidence, I think you're the coolest dude that's ever lived. I'm sorry if I'm undervaluing the amount of physical work that is done, but I think the fact that you are in Slipknot and just get to beat a keg for them is the coolest thing ever.
He's gonna make you get him tatted on your ass.
I would get his mask tattooed on my ass instantly. If I knew somebody who had a needle in India ink right now, I would do it. Oh my god.
Okay, top tracks.
Okay, Surfacing is easily number one for me. And then it's hard. I love this album so much, and I know that you didn't enjoy every song as much as I do. So I feel like it's going to be easier for you. I'm going to go Surfacing, Eyeless, and it's tough because it's all like right at the beginning of the album, but like Surfacing, Eyeless, and Sick, I think have to be the top three.
It's the better half of the album.
I mean, it is, for sure. I do agree with that. As much as I love the whole thing, I do agree that the first half is significant. Like, to me, the first, up until Tattered and Torn, this album is a 10 out of 10 for me.
Right.
After that, it's like an 8.5 out of 10, which is still really high for me, but like...
Yeah, for you, that's really high, yeah.
Yeah, I'm very notoriously bad with number ratings.
Oh my god, this thing is 50 minutes.
Yeah, it's literally a 50-minute album.
That's 10 minutes too long, I think.
I agree.
But anyway, I think mine are actually also Surfacing. That song really rocks, not gonna lie.
That song goes absolutely berserk.
Yeah, that's a really good one. I think Surfacing, Eyeless, and then maybe... The third could really go to anything on the top half, but probably Spit It Out.
Yeah, Spit It Out is cool. It's like, I love Spit It Out. I don't love it as much as everybody else does. Mm-hmm. But it's also cool because it is like a nice little breakup from that first like half of that album for most of the songs where it's just like straight brute force aggression the whole way. But then with Spit It Out, a little bit of rappiness and a little bit more of like the funk elements coming through and everything.
I'll be honest, I think maybe my third is the intro, which I didn't want to say because it's an intro, it's really cool. It really sets the mood. Like,
yeah, I like, because
Everything is shit.
Every time I listen to like albums that have like intros like that, I usually like if I'm like very specifically like doing like a full listen through of the album, like I'm like fully paying attention to it or whatever, you know what I mean? But like you skip shit like that, I never skip that song.
Yeah, it's good. Like, it's a good song.
Yeah, it like you said, it sets the mood so well too.
So yeah, so I think I'm gonna backtrack my spit it out and be honest and say that it's 7-4-2.
For as long as I've liked Slipknot and like read a lot of stories about them and all that kind of shit and like really loved them, I have never bothered to look up why those numbers are what they are. I still don't know if they like correspond to letters or like what the fuck is going on there. I've never looked it up, and I'm just now realizing that. And I don't know why it never came to my mind to be like, hey, what do these numbers actually mean?
Now I want to know.
I also do.
Oh, is this their debut? I didn't realize that. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Recording, musical and lyrical themes. Yes, I am on the wiki trying to... trying to find out.
It have like I don't know if it would technically be classified as a mixtape or an EP or what it would be called, but they had a release called Mate Feed Kill Repeat that came out before this, but I never got like major like distribution, and it wasn't like a full like studio album, you know what I mean? I think it was only like 5 or 6 songs.
Do you want to do another Slipknot album in the future?
Absolutely.
I think I do. Yeah. Oh, here it is. The intro named after the barcode of Mate, Feed, Kill, Repeat.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. Damn, I'm glad I brought Mate, Feed, Kill, Repeat up right before we talked about that. Yeah.
You know who's not a poser? Kai.
I'm not a Slipknot poser. I kind of was because I feel like it would be cool to have Slipknot on my ass and not give a shit about them. But...
you know,
anybody listening, send us, tag us on Twitter what your absolute best poser story is, like you're either
ooh, poser, yes.
Either you being a poser or somebody else being a poser, I don't care, I just want to hear like the absolute best poser story you have, and I'll tell you that it's awesome because it is.
Definitely bonus points if you're the poser. Yeah. Because I feel like nobody ever wants to own up, and what's cooler than owning up?
There's nothing cooler than just admitting that everything that we do in our lives is embarrassing and just completely with it. The most embarrassing thing in the world is being horny. But most people do it. But all of us are embarrassing as fuck.
I love it. I love it. What album is People Equal Shit on? Because that's the one I would like to do next.
Which I do think is the one we should do next. Because it's their other...
Beautiful.
It's their other big hitter. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That's the one that actually is when I got into Slipknot. So
okay.
There you
fuck
go.
Yeah. So that'll be cool then. What do we want to do next week? I was kind of thinking, because I know how much you hate them, I think it would be fun to do Incubus.
It's time.
I feel like we've put it off for a while now, and like we've done a couple like pretty decent ones recently. you know, so like I want to just truly go for one that like I don't think either of us like, and I don't think are gonna have a good time listening to, but I really want to talk about it.
Who knows what could happen. Like, I'm a notorious Incubus hater, but I will be the first person to say I've never given them a real shot because of how much I hate everything I've ever heard.
I still think the funniest thing that that I've ever done was putting that Incubus song on a fucking new metal playlist that I made. When I put Drive on there.
Oh my god.
But anyways, so I guess so next episode that we do will be Incubus's Science, which is an initial or an acronym, and is something I've never bothered to look up what it means. So I hope that it's just a bunch of dudes just talking about weird science shit, because I think that would be funny.
Of course it's an acronym.
Like, does it surprise you at all?
God, I hate them.
I'm really excited for this album now.
And you know that, like, you only have to be like 15% hot for me to forgive you for anything. And that guy is supposedly like 500% hot, and I still don't. I just don't. He does nothing for me.
Holy shit. I love that. Oh my God. Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to probably what will devolve into just us dunking on Incubus, but I will give a legitimate shot. I'm also 100% going to listen to Drive by Incubus immediately after.
That's a good song.
That song is incredible.
Shouldn't even be theirs, to be honest. Should be someone else's.
Yeah, they should have like ghostwritten it for somebody, because they truly don't deserve it.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, your beautiful bitch Jazz Mancia has graduated college, so woo! I have time for the important things, which is contributing to the culture by recording this podcast. So hopefully, and don't hold us to this, because, well, you're a fan, so you already know. but hopefully we'll get more material out faster from now on.
Yeah, I
at least until I get.
Yeah, I'm also sad still, but slightly less like do nothing depressed. So I can also contribute more. So we have finally, for our Patreon subscribers, we finally have a bonus episode that we are hopefully recording tomorrow. At the very least, we've got to get it done this week. And so we're sorry that we kept you waiting for that so long, but we are excited to do that and have more time and hopefully get more episodes out to you. So if you
want to, yeah, this is going to be a really special bonus episode, so tune in.
Yeah, for our first bonus episode, we're really going all in with it. So you can find us, I think the Patreon link is Cornfed Pod, which is also our Twitter @, I believe. To follow us at either of those, feel free to. We would love it. We'll do it for the
All right. See you guys soon.
All right.
All right. Bye.